Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this 21st day of October 2019. We're going to look at a lot of things today. This is entitled Who is Spiritual, but it gets a little more cranky as we get into the questions, and I think you'll find out why in a few moments. So I'm really looking forward to doing this. I want to remind you, these radio programs and all the things that I share with you on the website, including all of the TV programs I've done over the years, are all there for you. There are many, many, many there. I have a long list of things that I've tried to offer to you to help you. They're all there, radio, podcast, videocast, commentaries. These are very special things, though, the podcast, videocast, and commentaries. They're really basically for those of you who are deeply serious about personal transcendence. It's a very big deal to want to go very deep within yourself and be willing to sacrifice those things that get in the way of love. And that's really what it's all about, absolute, perfect, authentic love. Anyway, they're all there for you, and they're there because of quarterly, monthly donations, special gifts at year-end. We're in our year-end fundraising drive, as you know, and it's tough out there, I'll tell you, it is. And why? Well, there's a lot of reasons why. The political scene right now is very hot. There's a lot of stuff going on with this impeachment deal and everything that is human mischief. So if you are looking for something meaningful and you want to become a sponsor to help us maintain our radio program, our TV efforts, podcast, videocast, commentaries, discourses, oh, you get some amazing discourses. 122 of them are there on the website, free of charge, from my TV programs that I did over the years. They're yours for being a sponsor. You can download them, listen to them, do whatever you like. They're there to serve you and to help you. Anyway, it's all there as Aspire seeks to serve you, and I hope that you will consider being a sponsor and help us sustain our radio, our TV, as well as my work at hospice. You help support that. There's many, many things when you give a gift to Aspire. And on top of all of that, our mystery donor is going to be matching donations. So that's very, very important. He's a wonderful person, and he's seeking to serve you. And I hope that you avail yourself of this and make love possible through your gift. What does it mean to be spiritual? I have no idea. Anyway, here's the first question from Kevin. And he lives in, where is this? Alabama. Alabama, that's a long ways away. What does it mean to be spiritual? I don't understand what this term means. I don't either, Kevin. I don't understand when people like Oprah and Marianne Williamson and all these people say that they're spiritual. I don't get that. What does that mean? I see them doing things that would have nothing to do with basic spirituality at all. All they do is what they do. I mean, seeking the presidency of this country. I mean, that's the worst. Anyway, that's ambitious and prideful. And nonetheless, and less than none, to me, being spiritual is seeking to be in accord with the oneness of the universe, the oneness of love through everything that we do. But I would never, ever consider myself spiritual. I wouldn't consider anyone I know spiritual. I think it's a terrible thing to put on people, a label, because it implies that they are in some way different. In other ways, some people would take it as better than. And we can find hypocrisy in all of us, me included. So when you look at your life and you see, oh, being spiritual means wanting to be like religious or knowing certain terms or having certain beliefs that congregate in my mind and formulate philosophies and pedestal ideals and all sorts of things. Is that really what it is? Is that being spiritual? No, I don't think so. Spiritual is something that lives within us all. It's a depth. It's a clarity. It is seeking the soul at all costs to the human comforts, conveniences, and the whole idea of being conventional. And most people are extremely conventional. They don't have any relationship with the universe, with love, with the goodness of their nature. They have absolutely none. They believe in this entity that they call God because some book and some minister or some priest has pounded it into their brain and used it to formulate a cash cow kind of thing. You can make a lot of money telling people what they want to hear and what they can believe in. And the truth of the matter is that what I can believe in doesn't make it very true. It just makes it what I can believe in. And that has to do with the Greg Penn mentality, and that has to do with his genetics. And it'll all relate back to human survival, DNA. And before you know it, you and I aren't as spiritual as maybe we would like to have thought we were. So I really don't know, Kevin, what that word means. I'm the kind of guy that chops wood, carries water. That's about all I do. I look at my life from the point of view of the honor and the privilege of being here on this planet, of having the chance to live and to transform and to have a transformation in my life. It's the only thing you've got. You can live your life in conventional ways and conventional means and just live it the way you want to live it and think of it the way you want to think of it and just go through the motions to stay alive for what? What's going to happen at the end? Or is there going to be an end? Is this just go on and on and on and on? What are we talking about here? What is the meaning of a person's life? What is the significance? Is the significance in just survival? And if so, why that? I mean, really, that's as far as it'll ever go? Just survival? No, I think for a lot of people that's good enough. And then stamping on religion and stamping on the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad, moralistic beliefs, that's about as far as people will go, and that's where it's at. So I can't tell you what is spiritual. I don't like these kind of terminologies and definitions, so I'm just going to say I am a spiritual being, you are too, that lives in the entity of a human being. And what you do with that and how you deal with that is something very, very important. That's all I can say. Please forgive me. Namaste. All right, now for the corker from Linda down in L.A. And she always she always has something wonderful to share with me. And this was one of them. In reading and listening to some of your works, it seems that you consider being married a impossible situation for spiritual awakening. Why do you feel this way? And is it true you can't awaken if you're married? Linda. Linda, if you're married and you're in a spiritual practice, there's going to be trouble. Nothing but trouble. No man can serve two masters, as Jesus said. He will either hate the one and love the other, or love the one and hate the other. You will not be able to accomplish much because the mate has other plans. The one that doesn't relate to the spiritual practice, male or female, I don't know which would it be. It can be either. is going to act as a difficulty, a real, real difficulty, because he or she, if it's him, he doesn't want you wasting money on retreats and workshops and donations and CDs and things like that. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want you to meditate and spend time away from him, blah, blah, blah. If it's a woman, it's almost the same thing. She's divisive. She's more cunning than he is. And she will try to say things like, you can go to your retreats and stuff, but it, at a minimal, if you take me here, there, and everywhere, and it doesn't interfere with what I think of as my life and the things I want to do. And that's really the end all. In my career, almost 50 years now, I have never seen a couple be able to sustain a spiritual practice without havoc, without difficulty. If one is into it and the other is not, if one is finding a beauty or insight into it or is curious and the other is not, doesn't matter male or female, there's going to be trouble. And no, you're not going to awaken. No, you're not going. Generally speaking, no, it's not going to happen because the body is too strong an influence. The body is a huge influence upon our life. It's chemicals, it's ideals, it's synapses, and the testosterone, estrogen level, all of that. It's just too strong. And the spirit is weak. The flesh is very, very strong. The spirit is weak compared to the flesh. And you're going to find that, you know, if he or she does not approve of what you're doing, it's going to affect the relationship. It'll affect sex. It'll affect money and decisions made about money. It will affect time and how much time one spends. And then there is that jealousy factor. Jealousy. When the one that isn't in the practice sees that the other one is trying to find a meaning that exists beyond the relationship, that's when the trouble really begins. Are you saying I'm not enough? Are you saying my love isn't enough? You're seeking a better love, a deeper love? Are you believing in that Greg Penn guy more than me? You like him more than me? You love him more than me? Yeah. Yeah. There are many reasons why being married is a very difficult thing. Am I saying it can't be done? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying it's highly unlikely in a conventional relationship. If you have a conventional relationship where you meet, you breed, you die, that's going to be pretty difficult to do any kind of transcendence. I mean, that's what relationships are for. We babysit each other and build mutual bonds of emotionality in a relationship. And that doesn't lead to anything that's awakening at all. There is no individuality. And then you have to have oneness in life. But to do that, you have to be an individual. And then you have to be willing to give up individuality for the sake of that oneness. It's very complicated to the human mind. To the person who is accentuating their soul, it is not very confusing at all. In fact, it is deeply awakening. It becomes more and more beautiful. The relationship becomes less important because the relationship a person is having with their authentic heart and their soul going into their soul is far more beautiful than the relationship could have ever have been based on its physicality, how you met. Remember, we don't meet each other in love. People say that. I'm in love. You're not in love. You're in a chemical imbalance going towards your DNA that's telling you time to mate, time to have babies, time to complicate your life, time to have all the things that you're supposed to have at a certain age and raise children. For what? The pride of your genetics? Yes! It is. It's just for the pride of genetics. Plus, you have this deep, moving kind of inner emotionality, instinct that's telling you to make children, to have babies, to make family, to have tribe. It's all to keep your psychology right where it needs to be in order to survive. So yes, all of this is happening as a function of your DNA and your genetics. And the pride of your genetics supersedes your common sense. I mean, how many kids can you have before you look at it and you say, I can't afford this, I can't afford that, I can't afford my glasses, I can't afford to have my teeth looked at. And you look at everything. Look at how things are going. They have to have their teeth looked at. They have to have their eyes looked at. They may need glasses. Do I run around without glasses because I can't afford? See, all of this builds and builds. A spiritual practice? I can't afford to go to a retreat. I can't afford to do that. Yeah. Linda, it would be very difficult, very unusual. And I have never seen it in my years. Never. What happens is that people get into a practice and they start to realize how screwed up they are. They begin to realize how they have changed their life according to the matter of flesh, not the matter of spirit. They suddenly begin to realize the gravitas of their life and what they've done to it. And nobody wants to do that. So you buy that camper and you go traveling. You got to travel on Ramblin' Rose. And you just try to stay happy with your mate for as long as you can, because if he or she is not happy, as we all know in a marriage, your life can be miserable, just miserable. So it's a business deal from the start to the end. I marry you because you have this, this, and this, and I love you because you're this, this, and this. And if you start getting interested in something I'm not interested in, or threatens my conveniences, or threatens whatever it is I want to do with the rest of my life, you know, which is just raise our children or whatever, get that big house or go see Mount Olympus or whatever you want to see. If you do that, boy, you're going to have a tiger by the tail here. And, you know, it's going to ruin our relationship. Well, you didn't have a relationship like you'd like to think. People think they're in love when actually they're more in tune with their genetic and DNA presence. In other words, anything that gratifies me in the fulfillment of my DNA, which is to survive, purely to survive, anything that constitutes some kind of accomplishment there seems to be relative to my human heart. And my human heart is very selfish, very prideful, and very ignorant. It wants what it wants for the sake of what it wants. It doesn't care or understand anything about spiritual awakening, not even remotely. So don't be pretending that you're in love, because you're not in love. But that to us is being in love. And you can't talk people down from it. So Linda, there you are. No, I think the odds are very much against you. I think that you have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. And if you are in a relationship and you're allowed to grow separately, maybe even apart, because the other person can't stand the new love that you found, the presence of love over the state of your human love, then, you know, yeah, you're risking a lot of things by being in a spiritual practice, a lot. And you have to ask yourself, how far do I go? What am I willing to give? And what am I willing to surrender? All of that pertains to awakening. And a lot of people will be in a practice, or they say they are. A lot of people think they're spiritual or they say they are, but they're not willing to sacrifice their ambition, their pride, their vanity, their life. What did Jesus say? He that doesn't even, you know, hate his life, his own life, much less his family, is not worthy of me. Wow. Oh, yeah. Makes Good Friday sensible, doesn't it? Just a thought there. There you go, Linda. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for putting me on the spot. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question comes from Randy. He contacts me a lot, and I like it. Who do you think in this world is spiritual? Are you spiritual? Randy. We've had a lot of interesting people that were very, very, very spiritual in this world. Obviously, Buddha, Jesus, Lao Tzu, Mahavir. There are many, many, many who have touched this planet. There are people who were starting to become, shall we say, spiritual, starting. Gandhi would be one of them. Dr. Martin Luther King, the Kennedy boys, they were just starting. They weren't quite there. They had a lot of karma to overcome and blah, blah, blah. So everybody's spiritual, as I said earlier. Everyone has it within them to be spiritual. How many people actually take advantage of that and become spiritual? I don't know. In my lifetime, it's very rare. Very, very rare. I've seen it in India. If you watch my series, The Call to India, I have on there some very interesting people who we're deeply spiritual. Braha Kumaris were very, very interesting people, very beautiful, very lovely. And they were extremely kind and generous, but more than that, they were devoted. They were devoted to not a cause, but the way that lived within. They were innocent and beautiful. You should watch that series. It's on the website at aspire.org. So, you know, and that was the one, that one series went all the way to India, did everything we did, really worked hard, even won an Emmy and a Telly for it, but nobody watched it. Nobody liked it. It turned them off. Westerners are crazy. They put a political twist on everything, which is why we are the way we are right now, at odds with ourselves. That people think that poverty and there's a lot of poverty, or there was in India when I was there, has to do with being spiritual. Well, it does and it doesn't, and you can't really say things like that because that's not the way it works, but who am I to say, and how am I to get to you and help you understand that some people's wealth is their poverty? And I can't get that over to people very well, so I don't even try. There are people all over the world, little dots here and there, who I think are probably very, very much seeking awakening. But when you're truly seeking awakening, you're not seeking it on the terms of some religious belief or some religious organization. You are seeking it through your heart, awakening to your soul. If you need to belong, shall we say, to a church that is teaching doctrine, you're not going to get it. But if you are seeking your awakening through the methods of spiritual awakening, that is something else. And I offer that to my students deeply. They know it. It's a discipline. It is something you do for the sake of awakening, and not for the sake of your own, shall we say, salvation. I gotta go. Look at the time. I'm out of here. Thank you for your beautiful questions. I hope this helped. I hope you go take a look at The Call to India. I think you'll find it very interesting. Please forgive me. Namaste.